We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat's not our concern. And the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath the cold gray country sky. And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
Just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is the second hour of Govern America. Darren Weeks and Nancy Levant here, and we're going to be bringing up Bruce Topham here in just a moment. He's a lifelong rancher in a battle of his life for water rights. We'll get to that here in just a moment after the break if everything goes as planned. I want to finish up with this integration of Canada into the U.S.-dominated national security perimeter. This is a part of NAFTA, by the way, folks. NAFTA really was what led to this point, and NAFTA is designed to be a regional system whereby the borders would ultimately be erased. And that's what's happening here. They talked about the first phase. I want to skip down to the second phase of this plan. Well, quote, further test how pre-inspection could enhance border efficiency and reduce wait times to facilitate trade and travel, and will be implemented at the Peace Bridge crossing between Fort Erie, Ontario, and Buffalo, New York, unquote. The perimeter security deal is laying the foundation for a future U.S.-Canada binational organization that would jointly manage and control the border. The CBSA is also testing additional technology at Morsey's Line, Quebec, and Piney, Manitoba, ports of entry, under the Remote Traveler Pilot Project. People entering either location after regular hours of service will be processed by a Border Services officer located at a remote processing center through a two-way audio and one-way video kiosk. Cameras will be installed to provide the officer with the ability to see the traveler and the vehicle. The program, which could later be expanded to other areas, quote, is part of the Small and Remote Ports of Entry Initiative. See, they got all these programs that nobody's ever heard about.
Yep.
One of the deliverables under the Beyond the Border Action Plan. So, folks, this is something that people need to be researching, the Beyond the Border Action Plan. This is the latest phase, the latest implementation of the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. This thing hasn't gone...
You've heard of the European Union. Now you've heard of the North American Union.
That's right.
Same deal.
Same deal, and we see what a great job it's been for the Europeans, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, there's so much more to this.
Getting out of trash cans.
But we're just about out of time for this part of it. Maybe we can continue this later on in the show. But we got another thing brewing here in Oregon right now. It's the Klamath Basin. Continues to be a major battleground over water rights. The ranchers are literally fighting for their lives.
Yep.
And it's not looking very good, folks. When we come back, we hope to bring up Bruce Topham, and we'll talk about this in a moment. This is Govern America on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Love America. Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
When the rain comes, it seems that everyone has gone away. When the night falls, you wonder if you shouldn't find some place to run and hide, escape the pain. But hiding's such a lonely thing to do. But I can't stop the rain from falling down on you again. But I can't stop the rain, but I will hold you till it goes away.
Welcome back to Govern America. Darren Waits and Nancy Levant here, as we are every Saturday. Bruce Topham is a lifelong cattle rancher. He's an expert on water hydrology, having a degree from Cal State University at Fresno. He's well-versed in the history of the Klamath Basin area. He's been involved in a fight there for a while now. This really has come to a head. Many of you folks will remember back, I guess it was around 2001, where that whole area, the Klamath area, was really the focus, I guess you'd say, of a massive water battle. This is, I guess you could say, related, but not, it's a separate battle altogether. Anyway, Bruce is joining us, and we're going to talk about this thing right now because I think people need to have their attention called to this. Ladies and gentlemen, we just talked about the National Blue Way system. I guess it was last week on the show. They're after our water rights in a major way. They're after our property. Well, ultimately, this is all boils down to private property and your ability to live, your ability to work the land, own the land, cultivate the land, and be free. Without land ownership, you have no freedom. And so, anyway, we're going to bring up Bruce right now. Bruce, thank you so much for being with us here on Govern America.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's provide a little bit of background. And by the way, my co-host Nancy Levan is here as well. Say hi, Nancy.
Hi there.
Hi, Nancy.
Let's provide for folks a little bit of background here. Can you tell us why the Klamath Basin is a special place? Why is it? You told me the other day on the phone that it's prime cattle country. Can you explain a little bit about what you meant by that?
Well, the Klamath Basin is basically contained within Klamath County, and our main claim to fame is that this is the county where Crater Lake National Park is located. As an aside, Crater Lake National Park just got their water turned off like the rest of us. So if you go up there to the lodge, you're probably going to be using porta potties instead of flush toilets. Anyway, that's an aside. I'm 71 years old, and I've been a cattle rancher my whole life. That's what our family does. As you mentioned, I have a degree in a different subject, which is groundwater geology, but, that's because I couldn't see spending 4 years learning something I already knew, which was the cow business. And I have, in fact, been a rancher, not a geologist, as a profession for my whole life. Mm-hmm. Klamath County lays at around 4,000 foot elevation in the valleys and gets up to however high Crater Lake is. I think that's close to 8. We have a largest lake in the state is Klamath Lake in the center of our county. Downstream from it is what they call the Reclamation Project, which was built by the federal government starting in 1905. They drained swamps and lakes and put in irrigation canals and diversions and spent millions and millions of dollars to develop irrigated land down there. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, the land north of the lake, which is where we are, which we're in Sprig River Valley, there's Fort Klamath area, there's Williamson River Valley, everything that drains into Klamath Lake has been cattle country. And it's the strongest, highest protein grass, as far as I know, anywhere in the world. This grass puts on pounds of meat in the summertime on these cattle. I've been involved in cattle ranching in Wyoming and California and British Columbia, and I have enough background to be able to stand behind what I say on this. This is good grass, and that's what it's good for. It freezes in the summer. We can't grow crops like potatoes that they do farther down below the lake. We can't even grow grain without getting it frosted up here, but we can grow grass, and it's been growing grass since the 1860s. The first ranches came in here. Our ranch here was part of the original Klamath Reservation, and it's been irrigated continuously for 150 years until this year. This year it got shut off. So all the ecology that's developed over that period of time with the waterfowl and the antelope and the deer and the rare birds and everything, they're out of luck. Their habitat is being destroyed right now.
Now, you also talked about the migration of cattle. I guess you have a very sophisticated...
Yeah, this is a unique situation. There's only two places in the world where cattle ranching does what they do here. The cattle, we have 105,000 head of cattle come into this county in the springtime when the grass comes. They come mm-hmm. from Northern California. And then when winter comes, usually in November sometime, they ship all these cattle back 200 or 300 miles south into California, which is low elevation. It's only 300 or 400 foot elevation in most of that country. It doesn't snow, and they have grass all winter. So the other part of the world is in southern France in the Pyrenees where they do that. And that's the only places that's done. It's a unique situation. But the cattle never have to be fed hay. They're always growing or eating green grass and their pasture situations. So that makes our county very unique. But without the summer pasture,
it also makes your cows very healthy.
We have extremely healthy cows. We raise and sell range-fed beef. As a matter of fact, the rest of my family is in Klamath Falls today selling grass-fed beef at the farmer's market. That's what they do every Saturday. And we are, by the way, a family ranch. We have about 500 mother cows, which is not large by standards out here, but it's adequate to support our family of my wife and myself and son and daughter. That's what we are. We're not a corporate farm. There are no corporate ranches in our valley.
Not yet, anyway.
Well, the part that's on the project started by the government, those are corporate farms. Those are big boys. And their water rights start in about 1905 and to recent times. Our water rights start in 1864. They're supposedly the oldest water rights out here. But thanks to the government changing the rules and inventing loopholes and so forth to dry us up, our 1864 water is now going down the river through Klamath Lake, a distance of probably 80 or 90 miles, to the government project. So their 1905 water rights are trumping our 1864, in effect.
Okay.
None of this is legal.
Yeah, just to give folks an idea, you said it was some of the family farmers down in the project that were fighting the battle. What was it, around 2001?
That was around 2001. The government came in and dried them up because they wanted to use the water for fish. And that was the excuse they used that year. The EPA, I believe, was the power behind that. But after they dried those guys up for most of the summer, they got some new opinions and found out that they shouldn't have done that. But they did it anyway, and that occasioned us to take our significant part of our cattle up into British Columbia for a couple of years to where they could have some grass, because we don't operate in that part of the world, but it put pressure on the pastures up here, and we didn't have enough grass for our cattle because their cattle had to come up this way, the some that they had down there. So our cattle went to Anaheim Lake in British Columbia for a few years, some of them, not all of them.
So
and they came back home before they discovered mad cows in Canada, so we didn't get tangled up in that either.
Yeah, thank God.
May I ask you, too, has there been any dam removals in the Klamath area?
Okay, that's another part of this same argument. There's four dams. They're perfectly good hydroelectric dams. They supply about the needs of 70,000 households. They call that small. One of them has a fish ladder. The other three don't. The government wants them out to make some Indian tribes out by the coastal end of the river happy, and they want those dams out. And they will not allow the power company to put fish ladders in and make it work that way, which is interesting because all the dams on the Columbia River have fish ladders. There's 20-some of them. They all make good passage for salmon and any other fish that wants to go up, but that's not good enough for us. The federal government is supposed to spend over $1 billion to take out four perfectly good power-generating dams, clean, green energy.
They want you to move. That's what
they want us out of here.
Yeah, and this is going on too. By the way, at a time when wasn't California having rolling blackouts a summer or two ago?
California has power problems of their own, and they've been trying to steal our water regularly too.
Hold it right there. Well, let's pick it up on the other side. There, our guest is Bruce Topham. He's a lifelong rancher, and as you can see, very well versed in the Klamath area about the history and everything that's going on there. And he's fighting for his life, folks, literally. As we'll see, this has ramifications for the entire country, as we'll get into this conversation a little bit more. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. This is Govern America.
ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
We're back. This is Government America, Darren Weeks, Nancy Levant, and our guest is Bruce Topham. He's a rancher in the Klamath Basin area, and we're good talking about his water fight. He and many others. How many people are being affected by this, Bruce?
I think the best number I can get, there's around 450 different ownerships involved. Now, we had a rally, I guess you could call it, at Klamath Falls a week ago, and we had 225 different vehicles, commercial vehicles in a parade. That was cattle trucks, stock trailers, the businesses we do business with, setting gas trucks, and all. There was a total of 225 vehicles with their names on the side of the businesses they represented. It took them an hour and a half to get them all driven past the courthouse. And we had 1,000 people there with signs explaining the situation. So it represents a lot of people.
Yeah. Now, we're dealing with a lot of jobs, too. Do we have numbers on how many jobs we're talking about here?
The county commissioners had a study, and let's see, I have the numbers in front of me. It was 4,500 jobs that will be lost. But there's bigger numbers than that. the livestock sales that are involved is $150 million annually. And the property tax, which supports our county, all of our schools come from property tax. When you take our land that's irrigated, it's worth about $2,500 to $3,000 an acre, and then you deny it water, it becomes dry land, and it's worth $50 to $100 an acre. That represents a big drop in property tax that the county gets to collect, and that drop is a $500,000 a year that the county won't. And we're a small county. We have about 50,000 people in the whole county. So that's a pretty big hit.
So you think the county officials would be against this too?
They are. We elected a whole new slate of commissioners, which other states call them supervisors, but in Oregon we call them commissioners. There's three of them. And we got a whole new slate on this argument because the previous ones were all for the government taking over and removing the dams, and we couldn't get to vote on any of this stuff, but we sure could vote on the commissioners, and we voted them out, I mean, by as much as 80% against the previous ones. So the people have spoken, but it doesn't matter when you're going against the federal government. You're kind of in trouble. But what the rest of the country needs to know is that this sets a precedent. If they can do what they're doing here with the help of the tribes to confiscate the water and in turn the land, that will work. That strategy will work anywhere.
There's an Indian tribe. I want to get to that in a moment. First, I want you to tell us how many acres are we talking about here?
115,000 is involved in the amount of the land that they're drying up.
Okay, now, naturally, you were telling me about Annie Spring on Annie Creek. I guess that feeds Crater Lake, is that correct?
Yeah, that's up on the flanks of Crater Lake. I don't know what elevation, but it's probably around 6,500 feet or so up on the outside of the volcano that houses Crater Lake. And from there, they have to pump it up hill to the lodge in two stages to get it all the way up there. It's probably 800 feet or so elevation change, maybe more than that. And then that that takes care of the needs of people up there. The lodge and irrigate the lawns and take a bath and flush your toilet and all that stuff. And the tribes have the water right on the spring. And so when the water was shut off here 2 weeks ago, they wouldn't even let our cows drink the water in this whole valley. We could not get water for our cows to drink. And that's over 100,000 head that everybody has. And went to the judge and had a hearing. And the judge denied us the ability to get water for our cows. We were rescued by the state a few days ago, I think last Monday, out of Salem where our capital is. They sent an emergency order out that we could, in fact, use some of this water for our cows to get a drink.
But it's only
temporary. That's how ridiculous they're getting.
The stay was only for 6 months. Is that correct?
What's the question?
I said the stay was only for 6 months, though, right?
Yeah, that has a six-month limit. So sometime around the first of the year, that will run out. And then we're back to where we were before. And it's ironic because they've spent a lot of money fencing the rivers and streams to protect the riparian zones to keep the cattle away from it. And now we have to cut those fences to let the cows get to the water to get a drink.
Yeah.
There was 80 miles of that kind of fencing put in our valley to help the environment. And now your cows have to drink. It's a humane thing.
Right, exactly. All right, I'll tell you what. I think, Nancy, you were going to say something. Can you hold it till after the break, and we'll go right to you out of the break, okay?
Yeah.
Stay with us, folks. We're visiting with Bruce Topham. He's a rancher in the Klamath Basin area, and we'll be back in a moment here on Govern America. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution. Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
All right, we're back. This is Governed America, visiting with Bruce Topham. By the way, the website is www.governamerica.com, and on the website we have the link there to Bruce's site, and you can click across there. Nancy, you had something you wanted to ask Bruce?
Yeah. Where are the, for instance, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association with you on this? I mean, what organizations are coming to bat for you?
That's interesting. You ask an astute question there. The Cattlemen's Beef Association used to be called the National Cattlemen's Association when it represented cattlemen. It became the Beef Association when it started representing the meat packers.
Oh.
And it still supposedly represents some cattlemen, but they lost a lot of membership because they leaned towards the packing end of the industry and the feedlot end of the industry and not the cattlemen. There are state cattlemen's associations. And we have one in Oregon. Now, the state association is what got drinking water for our cattle. They went to bat, and they got a hold of the right people in our capital and got us some water, finally. The national, turns out one of their major leaders is one of these corporate farmers down on the other end of the County.
There you go. Yeah.
And so they've prevented the National from really coming to bat, but there's pressure coming at them from another direction, so we might overcome that. But at the moment, that's politics.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
As far as other organizations helping us, it's hard to get your message out when you're conservatives in a liberal state. The local media practices slanted journalism, and so we have a difficult time. That's why I appreciate being on your show today.
Well, listen, it's our pleasure. This is the kind of stuff that we live for. This is the kind of stuff that we're here for. I want to get back to the subject at hand, though, Bruce. I want people to be able to understand how water rights work in Oregon. You mentioned the 1864 water rights. Those are the water rights that you have. Do the Indian tribes, because, see, I think it's important for people to understand the history of what the Indians did, and because the average person probably think, and this is probably what the feds are hoping to capitalize upon, people think, well, you know, the Indians were here first, and, well, they, you know, they did have all this before we came and took it all from them. But there's a history here that I think is very, very important.
Yeah, this is a good story. Apparently, according to the history, these tribes wandered around over 20 million acres, and when it came time to get control of the country and get them on a reservation, they gave them 2 million acres. They gave them hunting, fishing, gathering, and irrigation rights with the water. And they prospered. They had a lot of timber on their land. Mostly it was national forest, and they did quite well. And in the 1950s, the government decided that they wanted to, if they could get agreement with the tribes to terminate them, which doesn't mean what terminate means a lot of the time. But what
they wanted them to assimilate, right?
They wanted to assimilate them, and so what they did is they offered to buy their reservation for a humongous amount of money for a very few members of the tribe. I think it was around 500 to 1,000 people at that time. It wasn't over that. So they put it to a vote to the tribe members, and they all decided, hey, this is great. We'll each get $100,000, and we'll have all this money, and the government
will become like regular citizens, regular Americans.
That's right. They weren't going to be on welfare anymore, and they were going to be just like the rest of us, and everybody live happily ever after. So that's what happened, and they got their checks around 1960. I wasn't here then. I arrived here in 1972. And the land, most of what the tribe had became what they call the Wainema National Forest now. And mm-hmm. then at the same time, there were individuals in the tribe who owned private property in their own name. And I've got both kinds. I've got some of the property that was owned by tribal members, and I got some property that was owned by the tribe in common to make up our ranch. And we continued their irrigation practices that the tribe had been doing since 1864 when the thing was invented, the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we assumed, okay, that's the oldest water rights that are recorded around here, so we should be good. Well, the government decided that they wanted to get control of the water, so they invent laws as they need them. And they invented a law that says, well, the Indians' water rights go back to a time immemorial, whenever that is. But that was a long time ago.
That was the court ruling. I can't remember that far.
But the government came up with the idea.
Right, well, of course they did.
But here's the thing. The Indians now are claiming they need water for hunting and fishing and gathering.
Right.
When the reservation was established, that also included irrigation. So if they got time immemorial for the other things, why don't I get time immemorial for my irrigation, which is a continuation of their irrigation? It goes, when you sell your land, the irrigation water goes with it.
Yeah, and that's key right there. Right there, what you said is very important, because as you said, in Oregon, and I don't know what the law is in other states, but water rights go with the land. And you said that in the 1970s, Oregon created the in-stream water rights. Is that correct?
Somebody did, and I think it was at the behest of the federal government. It used the way it used to be traditionally, and this is in most states, at least west of the Rockies. We pretty much all have the same kind of water rights. But the idea was you had to put the water to beneficial use. That means you take it out of the river, you irrigate with it, you water your cows with it, you wash your car with it. You do something beneficial. It could be domestic use. A city can use it. And then the state watches you and makes sure you do that for 5 years, and then they'll give you a water right, which establishes your right to that amount of water to do that thing you're doing. In-stream was never even known as a beneficial use. This was invented later for the benefit of the government, and they not only invented a new kind of water right, but they invented a new way of calculating the date for it. So they didn't have to prove they were using it like the rest of us did that put it on the land. They didn't have to jump through any of the same hoops, and they still got in line ahead of us. And that's where the dates are important. The older your date depends on how reliable your water is. When there's a shortage, they cut off the younger people first, the 2050s or 2013 isn't, there's no water for that. But you can go back to 1950, there might not be any water there, but there's still water for 1864. So that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, and now this court ruling, I want to get to that in just a moment. But so the feds approached, the Indians approached the Indians in the 1950s. They sold their reservation, and this is the important part, listeners. The water rights go with the land until the 1970s when they invented this in-stream water thing. So when the Indians sold their reservation, they sold the water rights with it. Is that right, Bruce?
That's the way it works. And okay, they sold the right to be an Indian.
Yeah, because they're assimilated into the rest of the... So you said they went on some kind of drunken party... Spring.
Oh, when they got their money, it's legendary what happened when a lot of those people found out what you could do with money. It translated into Corvettes and kegs of beer, and we have a 10-acre Indian cemetery on the ranch, and there's a lot of tombstones dating from that time of, let's say, young adult Indian males. People that were here at the time tell me that's how that happened.
Suffice it to say, they didn't handle money very well.
No, they didn't. Some did, but the majority, I guess, didn't. And so by the early 70s, they were deciding they wanted to be Indians again. And so they approached Congress and got reinstated as a tribe. And that's when our most recent problems occurred, because now they're a tribe. They don't have a way to support themselves, and they did get a casino, but they want to do better. So now they're after a 92,000-acre piece of land that's for sale out here that the federal government wants to buy for $26 million and give to them. And,
well, you know, Bruce, before you go to that, I want you to talk about how sacred the suckerfish is to them, because, you know, I can't imagine why they would sell the reservation, because, I mean... Isn't this a part of their whole religion? I mean, isn't that what we're told?
When I came here in 1972, I happened to be down on one of the bridges that crosses the Sprague River in our valley, and there were several young kids fishing down there, teenagers, and they fished by putting a lead weight on the end of a string with about half a dozen treble hooks hanging there, no bait or anything. And they keep jigging the line up and down until they snag something. And they were snagging suckerfish and throwing them up on the bridge. And they were flopping around in the sun until they died. And I asked them, well, how do you cook those? And they all laughed at me. They said, you don't eat these. These aren't fit to eat. They taste like mud, and they've got too many bones in them. You can't eat them. I said, well, what do you do with them? They said, well, if we do anything with them, we put them in the garden, bury them, and they make fertilizer. Well, then when... After the tribe got started again and they wanted to try to get some claims to water, suddenly this fish became the basis of their religion, and they all worship it, and they have a sucker fish thing every year, a 1 or 2 day event where they honor the sucker fish and pray to it and all that kind of thing. And so the sucker fish has become the center stone of their tribe and their religion.
Yeah.
But it's not particularly traditional if it started in the 70s.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing. You know, you were talking about the other tribes don't respect them either. You got a lot of Indian tribes that are angry at this particular tribe because they're because they sold out. Yeah,
they didn't want to be Indians anymore, and the ones that are still Indians thought that they're turning their back on their culture and on them and everything else. So they became outsiders.
That's very interesting.
Not to mention the fact that these tribes, without fail, are going to be used by the federal government to implement whatever program they're looking for, and these programs have to do with control of the water and control of the land.
That's what's going on. But you know, another point on our tribe, at least, is there's very few of them that are really pure-blooded Indians. The chief is a half-blood. The most of the ones I know, they don't like to be called Indians. By the way, I get complaints about that. They're tribal members, and they're about, most of them seem to be about 25% Indian and 3/4 white. But the chief himself is not a full-blooded Indian. He's half.
Hmm.
So these are just another piece of white America doing this to us.
Yeah. Well, you know, you said it right there. Now, we had this March 26th court ruling where the court, what was it, a court of an appeals, an appeals court?
It's a adjudicator with the Water Resources Department. The guy doesn't have any legal background, they tell me. He doesn't have any law school education or anything like that. They just appoint him as an administrative law judge, they call it, in the bureaucracy.
Oh, he's a facilitator.
He's a bureaucrat. And he's the one that established how much water that the tribe could get for their water right, which amounts to almost 100% of the water available.
Yep.
That doesn't leave much for anybody else.
Right.
Right now it doesn't leave any. And it doesn't matter whether it's a drought year or not. If you look at the numbers of the amount of water they get, sometimes they get 150% of what's in the rivers, what's allowed to them. I mean, it's ridiculous. But we have not been in front of a real judge yet, and we're trying to get there. But
what is that process going to entail?
A lot of lawyer fees. You go to a district court judge, which is where we're trying to get right now. He's the one that wouldn't let the cows get a drink. So I don't know what our future holds there. It eventually gets to the Ninth Circuit Court, where we think we might have some hope. That doesn't sound right, but that's how bad a shape we're in. We got to depend on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, but it's a long drawn out process. We can't be without water for even 1 year without going broke because our cows have to eat and drink. So,
do you get any rain? Is your grass holding up?
You mean for right now?
Yes.
Right now, this summer, it's unusual, but we did get 1 inch of rain, which in our climate where it's been 95, 98 degrees, it doesn't take, you know, that doesn't amount to much. But
no.
In a normal summer, we're dry. Our normal precipitation here in a year is about 16 inches, and most of that comes in snow in the winter. So we depend on irrigation. Without irrigation, we really don't have anything here. But our ranch, for example, has been irrigated for 150 years. That's what the ecology is. The wildlife depends on that. And we have a lot of wildlife here. This is almost like a park, but it's changing.
Well, that's the thing, is once it dries up, it will change, which makes you ask a question, where are all these environmentalists?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They should be all out there screaming, that this is going to be damaging the ecosystem and all that.
I don't know about the environmental associations, if they're really interested in the environment. We've had the Audubon Society out here counting birds several years ago, and they were all impressed. But now that we have the problem, they're not to be seen. I called the National Humane Society headquarters in Washington, D.C. when our cattle were dried up here, and I left a message with the guy that's in charge of farm animals welfare. They wouldn't even return my call. So
there you go.
We don't get those people are in it for the money, I think.
Yeah, I and the political power too. All right, let's take another break. We'll continue. We're visiting with Bruce Topham. He's a rancher in the Klamath Basin, and we'll be back here in a moment on Govern America.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com. For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to ColoradoRiverLots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
All right, I guess we'll open up the phone lines. If you'd like to call in and talk to Bruce, maybe talk strategy, 1-800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. If you could stay on topic, I would appreciate it. 800-313-9443. Now, Bruce, you were just discussing earlier about somebody had said that this is very much a test case, that if they get their way here, that they're going to do this throughout the entire country with other Indian tribes. Can you expand upon that a little bit? Who said that?
It's pretty much well known around here. Everybody says it, starting with the lawyers and our state senator within the state. Those people that know how politics works, they all admit that this is a precedent-setting situation, and any tribe can come along and say, hey, we got hunting and fishing rights. We have to have water to make sure that there's water for our fish that we're going to catch and for our animals to have grass that we're going to hunt. And so, yeah, they can have that. And then they say, well, now we've been here forever, so they've got to get the first rights, too, while they're at it. And it's a done deal. Any tribe that wants to pull that can do it if they get by with it here.
Yeah.
And it's the government egging them on. That's the government set this up.
Yeah, that's really the important thing to keep in mind. You'd mentioned that the Indians are really being used as pawns in this whole thing. In reality, you're not fighting the Indians. In fact, that's one of the things that you had pointed out before, too, is that the government has tried to turn the farmers who are operating in the project in the south against the ranchers who are operating in the north. This is really a divide and conquer type of strategy, isn't it?
It's very much divided around here. The government will use whatever strategy they can to tie up the water, which in turn ties up the land. And if a person wanted to believe in Agenda 21, this would sure be a good way for them to make it happen.
Right.
Well, and this has got to. This also has to involve the big transnational food corporations and corporate farming. They don't want guys like you producing beautiful, healthy meat for the marketplace. They want it all. They want control over the food chain.
Well, they're eliminating a whole lot of it in one fell swoop here, because that's a lot of cattle, and our cattle aren't eating grain and things where you have to toil the ground and have inputs and everything. This is all very natural. The grass grows, the cows eat it, just like it's supposed to happen. They're in a healthy environment.
They're herbivores. They're not Monsanto corn eaters.
Yeah.
Where do you see, what do you plan on doing, Bruce? As you said, you're in your 70s. If the water is not turned back on, where are you? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go?
Well, I'm not planning on going anywhere. I've got family members buried on this ranch. This is as far as I go. I don't know. We have one ranch located 40 miles away in a different valley that's not involved in this argument. It's a different watershed. That will help, but I'm afraid our valley's going to turn into a dust bowl, and I don't know what to do about that. This is very light volcanic dirt we have around here. That's my big concern. My kids want to stay in the industry. That's what they know. It's what they like. It's what they're good at. Canada is still available to us. I'm a long-term American. One of my ancestors.
Okay, let's hold you over the top of the hour break here. Stay with us.
Yeah.
We'll be back here for hour number 3. Don't go away.